K8RUH. Morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Pretty good. No more hooky for deer hunting. Had to go back into the office.
No, no more. I took the 3 days. I got down to the wire. I shot one on Tuesday and back to the office. But it's all good. My Monday is now a Thursday.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Going in for the first day of the week yesterday was not a bad scenario. And then I worked from home on Friday, so it's pretty nice. Pretty solid work week here.
Yep, and then we got Thanksgiving next week, so that screws up that. And then we're into December where no one's around. And then we're into Christmas, which is in the middle of the week, I think, right? No, that was last year. I think it is this year, too. And, yeah, I enjoy the holiday season for the time off of work, not necessarily for running around like a chicken with no head.
Yeah, it's crazy. The year may as well be over. You know, you got 2 days left this week, 3 days next week, assuming you get Black Friday off. And then there's really just 3 weeks. And then it's Christmas and New Year's week. It's coming in hot. I mean, there's no time left. You know, there's basically 4 work week equivalent in days left of this year.
Yeah, quarter four is basically 1 month, so I'm not complaining. I'm looking forward to it. I got my deer hunting in. I'm satisfied, right? I didn't hunt as much as I usually do this year, but I got 2 down. I still got plenty of late season ahead of me, and work's tapering. I just like I gotta go in Black Friday because we're open, right? We're service. There's no way around it. But my wife works Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so the other guy is gonna take Christmas Eve. So it kind of works out. And those days you gotta go to the office when nobody's there. It's like in-house PTO. I don't do anything anyway.
That's right.
That is so true.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Yeah, I got 8 PTO days I got to burn before the end of the year. So I've got to start thinking seriously about taking them. I guess if I have to, I can take the Christmas and New Year's fall on Wednesday, Thursday. So I guess I could take Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday. That would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I still got to get 3 days in somewhere.
I'm right there with you, Sean. I have that time off. My last day is the 19th, and then I have a Friday, Monday off because we're going on a trip, and I still have 2 more days that I don't know how I'm going to fit in.
Yeah, sucks being important because then you don't know when you can take your time off. I don't have time off. Like, I don't have a bank or a quota or any of that, so I think it's worse because I don't have to do it. So then, like, if I've got stuff going on, well, I'm staying in the office and getting that stuff done. I wish I had an allocated amount, honestly. It sounds good on paper, but when it's unlimited, it's not that great because you use less of it because then, I don't know, you feel guilty or you don't, like you guys are talking about, like, I got to burn these or else I lose them, and that's leaving money on the table.
Well, the good thing about that is that, you know, everybody knows. They know how much you're gonna take. You know how much you got. You know, in theory, the system like you have, you know, is best. You know, and but, you know, we all know that once you've been with a place for 5 or 10 or 15 years, you know, you accumulate some time. And let's say you're there for 10, 15 years. You know, you should, at that point, you should be getting several weeks, you know, through 4 weeks, you know, and are you going to make sure you take 4 weeks off, you know, if you don't have it on paper that you've got this many days and this many days left, are you going to make sure you get your 4 days, you know, your 4 weeks? In my case, it's over 5 weeks. I'd have to look. I forget. Yeah, it's over 5. 6? I don't know. But anyhow, and I just got to make sure I get it in because here we are.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I have over 4, and but if I was in Dakota's shoes, I would probably leave. I probably would never take 4 weeks off. I just make sure I do because I can, and everybody likes not being at work sometimes. So it's a tricky scenario.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. This suits me best because I'm not a vacation taker. I don't take extended periods of time off. This 3 days I took off was the longest period of time I've taken off in the 18 months I've been employed here. So I just don't take vacations. I don't take week-longs. I can't remember the last time I did, if I ever did. I don't even know if I did that for our wedding, honestly. So it works for me because there's days where, like, I'm leaving early or I'm not coming in today or I need tomorrow off. And in that sense, it's nice because I don't have to keep track of the time off or how much time I took off and, you know, how many hours did I use. So it's very fluid. I come and go as I please. But, yeah, there's no subconscious obligation to take an X amount of time off.
Yeah. Well, I've always deliberately banked mine for Thanksgiving week. I always took 2 weeks off. Whatever thing, you know, Thanksgiving gives us, we had Thursday and Friday, so I would always take, you know, like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, usually the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before and then the week after, and I would use that to go down to Texas, and we do Thanksgiving in Houston, and that would give me plenty of time to drive in, you know, leisurely. I wouldn't have to kill myself getting in there in a day or, you know, in a day or two. And, you know, a day is brutal on a guy my age. When I was younger, maybe, but, you know, it's 21 hours, and forget it. And driving, you know, 21 hours, that's not including, you know, stops, you know. And so I'm not the guy that's going to cannonball run that anymore. There's a term you guys might not recognize, maybe Anthony. But I would always take that 2 weeks. Well, now the kids are up here. They're in... you know, they're in the area. So I don't do that anymore, but I still have this thing about saving the time up for the end of the year. So then every year when I get here, you know, it's like I'm going to take every Friday off from now till Christmas, which very well might be the case. I got to look at my calendar today, you know, or I'm going to take, you know, 2 here, 3 there, you know, something like that next week, you know, take 3 there. I could do that. I could take 3 there and get that week off, and then I could take, you know, 5 off around the holidays and not have to come back to work till Friday the 2nd. So, I don't know, but I kind of like that, you know. I feel recharged, so we get a lot of vacation days in the spring. So that way I can, you know, save up my my PTO for later in the year. Works out good.
Sean, you're not alone. I don't do those cannonball runs anymore either. Those long 14, 15, 20-hour drives are a young man's game, not my game anymore, that's for sure. So don't feel like you're getting old. It's a grind, and it's really not worth it, especially when you have real PTO time.
I don't know of any cannonball runs I've done. Trying to think what the longest I did. I don't know. I think I fly everywhere. I hate driving. I mean, I don't mind it, but yeah, doing those runs, nah. I remember as a kid driving to Florida and all that, and it's just like, Jesus, get me out of this car.
Yeah, driving a long distance with kids is a whole different, you know, a whole different thing. You have to make sure you plan it around their attention span, you know, and stops and make something of it. You know, I was the same way when I was a kid, but I love driving. I mean, I don't mind, you know, driving to Texas or, you know, I've done it many times. You know, just, you need 2 days, and it's two tough days because, you know, you've got 10 hours of driving you got to get accomplished back-to-back days. That's still pretty gruesome, and that's all you're doing. You're, you know, usually I would get, you know, I would push and get as much as I possibly could done on, get done on day one, and then I would have a shorter, you know, ride in on day two. But, no, I like driving. But I gotta, you know, I gotta be realistic. And really, in a perfect world, you know, about 5 hours, I think, is about, you know, that's about a good time, 3 to 5. And, you know, but where does that get you? Chicago? You know, so if you did that, hell, you'd if I was going to Texas and I was going to do 5 hours, it'd be like Chicago, St. Louis, you know, Tulsa, or Oklahoma City, you know, and then Van Nuys or something. I don't know. That'd be a 4-day trip. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've done a ton of them over the years. I've done out west multiple times to Utah, Wyoming, Montana, Texas, Florida, all over the place. But I don't think that's for me anymore. I definitely, but I do want to do a cross-country RV trip in the next few years. Rent an RV and take the family out west and all over the place. We'll see. Maybe we can make that happen soon. But that'll be a slow roll. That won't be anything quick or rushed or anything like that. So we'll see what happens. But guys, I'm in the office. I'm going to listen out, probably continue listening, but I got to start getting some stuff done. So I will catch up with you gentlemen maybe tomorrow. It's K-E-A-R-U-H. Have a great day.
Have a good one, Anthony.
Yep. Catch you later.
Back when we had our camper, my wife and I always talked about getting like a fifth wheel and the proper truck to pull it and do something similar. Just kind of, you know, when the kids fly the coop, we got time again, do something like that. Just take 2 weeks here and there and go putz around, drive across country, see where we get, come back, take our time, don't have to rent hotels, that kind of deal.
Yep, that's, I think a lot of us figure things like that. You know, once I retire or once the kids get older or something like that, I'm going to, a lot of people do that. And rightfully so. It's, you know, it's a good time to do that. If you can learn to camp with the kids, I think it's a valuable, thing. You know, maybe even do it, you know, rough style, you know, like a pop-up at best, so that they get the whole experience having to, you know, prepare everything they need and take it, make sure they've got everything. You know, kids these days are so glued to their phones, it's like, you know, touch grass for God's sakes. But, so camping would be a good way to get them out and get them away from, you know, the hustle. Yeah, you gotta take some time to do that. Well, not necessarily. There's a lot of people that just go up to Algonac and set up their Algonac State Park and just do a long weekend. So there's ways to get them out there. But, yeah, it's good stuff. And you do, like Anthony said, or like you just said, slow roll. You know, it's like when you're doing that, there's destination vacationing, and then there's, you know, the vacationing where it's the drive, you know, and I love vacations where it's the drive. You know, you just plan between quick stops and, oh, we'd like to see the ball of, you know, the world's largest ball of string in Wisconsin, you know, so that's stop number one.
Yeah, I think we talked about getting another camper for the near future here, but the kids, I got one that's not even 2 yet, so once he's a little bit older, I think we'll do that. And then by then, I think the puppers will be passed, and there will be a lot easier. And, you make those stops that you're not going to make a special trip for, which is the cool thing. You see stuff that you would never normally go out of your way to go see. Give me 1 second here. I got to pick up a title for my dad's house. I'll be right back. NADDF.
May I suggest The Abode? It's a great title. Anyhow, I'll be here. W8FU.
All right, I'm back.
I think these newer license plates with the, instead of, you know, three letters followed by three numbers, these ones where they mix it up, you know, like number, letter, 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 number, number, or something like that. I think those are just so much easier to remember. I see one, and I don't know why. You ever notice that while you're driving? You look at plates and think, that's a weird plate or an interesting plate. Or a, well, yeah, of course we did. That was the old cares thing.
The good old who cares days. Yeah, I do pay attention to a lot of plates. I used to never do that until I became a ham, and then it's always like, is that a call sign? Is that a call sign? And I don't know why, but I have to look at plates now.
I've been behind this priority dump truck, garbage truck, for the last 5 miles. I don't know why the hell I was behind that nasty-ass truck.
Just be glad that it's cold out.
Yeah, I used to work a lot down at Warren DPW. That was where they did all the upfitting of the cars and everything. So the guys, they're internal guys would upfit the cars, but if they ran into a problem or a snag or something needed to be, you know, programmed or something wasn't working after they installed it, you know, we'd have to run down there. So I spent quite a bit of time down there. You know, I got to know the guys and hang out and stuff like that. And then they took the back end of the place. It's all the same structure, the same space, but, you know, it's a huge space, but still. And they said, you know, we're going to bring the heavy, we're going to bring the garbage trucks through here, and they're going to bring the heavy mechanics of the sanitation over here. It's like, oh, my God. It just, the stench permeated the place in the summer when it got hot. Maggots would be everywhere. Oh, God, that was terrible.
Yeah, that smell is not for the faint of heart. It is a disgusting, sour, pungent. Oh, God, I'm glad it's cold out. I don't have to go to the yards often, but, man, when I do, especially on those hot 90-degree days, they are ripe.
Yep, or those, the other smell, I, you know, it's not quite as ripe and bad, but have you ever been near a sanitation, water sanitation plant? It's usually, you know, where the poop leaves the city. They have that heavy chlorine smell, and it's not, you know, it's not filth or garbage, but it still has this distinct smell that just, I don't know, it bugs the hell out of me, and it really permeates the air in and around those plants.
I've never smelled the chlorine, but I've smelled, like, the sulfur. Sulfur drives me nuts. I cannot stand that smell. I don't know why.
I smell like rotten eggs, like bad farts. I used to be, back in the heyday of ham swaps, there used to be this guy that, you know, very large man. He used to set up at every swap. He had a little ham radio store in Hazel Park down on John R. And he would set up at every swap, and there were these, you know, guys that thought it was funny. They would always crush sulfur tabs, you know, capsules right near his tables, you know. And it always smelled like, you know, rotten eggs and farts near his table.
Man, we did that in high school.
Yeah. I heard a rumor who it was once. I was kind of surprised, but no confirmation. But it was like you could rest assured you were at a swap, and what was his name? Good grief. Any locals down here, Metro Detroit, remember? I know I hear it, and I'll go, yes, that's it, but it'll come to me probably.
Speaking of swap, that next one's what, December?
Yeah, Lands Cruise coming up here, and I heard like all swaps, it's struggling to fill the tables and all that, but that's been one of the better ones that's been hanging on. It's, you know, people just don't do swaps anymore. They can buy almost everything online, either used through, you know, QRZ trading, you know, or Facebook Marketplace, or they could just buy it new. So, and have it shipped to their door the next day. So, just getting to the point where it's not worth it for the vendors, you know, to come. And if the vendors don't come, that's why you're going to have things like trunk swaps. You know, a trunk swap can survive, you know, because basically a trunk swap is just, you know, people pull up with their junk. And so that's about the best I think we're going to get. But Land's Cruise is holding on pretty well. So let's hope that that they do.
NADF. I've never been to a swap. I would like to go to a swap just to see what they're all about. I'd be afraid that I'd come home with a bunch of stuff I didn't need, though.
Well, it used to be a great place to, buy and sell. If you had, you know, stuff to sell, you'd load it up, get a table, or get a space. You know, I always like doing the outdoor thing, get a space. But, son of a bitch. Christ's sakes, I got the longest line at Starbucks I've ever seen. This one jack wagon, he's blocking the whole driveway. Oh, man. Anyhow, you're not so much anymore because, you know, the same reason that vendors don't want to come, you know, people aren't buying at swaps. But I found a lot of really good deals over the years, and I've sold a lot of stuff at swaps. So it's all good in that regard.
I don't have much to get rid of at this point, but I do have, you know, I've got a slight infatuation with some of these older radios that I'm learning about the further I get into this, and it would be nice to get eyes and hands on one of those.
Oh my God, these people are stupid. I mean, this parking lot for this particular Starbucks is just horrific, but, these people, they just don't care. They just, I got to get in line for my coffee. So they're blocking all the traffic getting in and out of the place. You got to go to one. I'll tell you what. If you could find a way to put Land's Cruise coming up here on your agenda, I'll tell you what. If you want to go, I'll make sure I go. I'll meet you. We'll go. And you'll get to experience one before they're gone.
When and where is that swap? I want to put it on my calendar so I don't forget about it.
Well, unless we have someone in the listening audience Google fooling it, I'm going to have to wait till I get to work. I'll find it at work and then text it over to you or whatever.
If it's something I can Google, I'll find it.
December 7th, Sunday, KETFM.
Davian, what's up?
Not much. Just waiting for the school bus.
Good morning, Davian. Go figure, my wife works that weekend, so... Wait. Hold on, maybe not. Let me double check. No, she works.
Sounds like the kids are going to the swap.
I love it.
Oh, I can't even fathom. Where is it at?
16 mile, basically, between DeQuinder and John R. So, due south on 16, basically.
I'll see if I can get my mom to watch one or two of them and lighten the load.
Yeah, they usually open to the public at like 8. So, you know, we tend to get there about opening time, and then probably be able to walk through it in all of, you know, an hour or two. And, you know, so you could be back, you know, to get the kids pretty quick.
All I want is a 706 Mark 2G.
There's been one on Facebook Marketplace that I've been seeing.
Yep, I believe that was mine at one time. I think I sold it to the guy. I got an upgraded one. I got a much cleaner one. And so I sold that one. But that one was perfectly fine.
Is it the one that's going for like 700, or is it the one that he keeps lowering the price on?
I think I remember. I've seen a couple over the last month.
The price is not changing.
I remember the prices were not where I was like, yeah, I gotta
really
have one.
A good deal.
I think maybe because when I came up with it, I thought of you.
But there was something about it that he had, I ain't gonna work. Can't remember what the hell it was, but I still keep my eye open every time I see one in that right deal range, you'll be the first to know.
I'm in the crater, but you guys doubled a bit there. I heard Sean, Dave, and I did not hear you.
I'm just saying I wasn't sure. I think it was 600 or 700, if I'm not mistaken. But it definitely wasn't lowering in price, at least when I looked at it.
Wait a minute. I'm an idiot. I'm talking about the 7,000. I don't know. My brain just kind of farted on me there. I'm talking about the 7,000 that's been on Facebook Marketplace for the last, couple of months. But, yeah, I did see a couple of 706s. I didn't own any of those. I keep my eyes peeled for one.
Yeah, there's that 7,000 in Sterling Heights. That one's nice. I'm talking about the Mark IIG that's going for like $700. It's just not clean enough for that price.
Yeah, I think for me, my next one's going to be the new 7300. I got a reservation at DX, so we'll see when they finally release it. But yeah, that'll probably be my next radio.
Yep, I love my 7300, and I wouldn't mind upgrading to the new one. But I don't know if I want to take the hit because you're not going to sell with the new one on the verge. You're probably not going to sell the old style one, for a lot. So I gotta move that and take whatever loss I take on that, and then pay the fiddler for the new one, whatever that is. But it's a thought, anyhow. And if I want to sell my 7300 with the PTRX SDR, that goes with it, that's an extremely, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but if you add the PTRX board to your 7300, I'll tell you what, it makes up for, you get the whole computer control thing through the SDR, you get a separate, you get a separate antenna you can peel off of it. That's a great upgrade.
I'm curious what that 7300 Mark II is going to come out at, because I was weighing the, do I get an amp and a tuner for the 705, or do I just buy a base unit for a little bit more? And I kind of came to that conclusion of just get a proper base unit. I just don't have room, so I don't know what I'm going to do with that, but curious what those are going to debut at. I think $1,000 for the 7300 is still a pretty good bang for your buck for what you're getting. But, I'm curious when that's going to come out, what it's going to come out at. And then the 5200, too. I got to actually get my reservation for that. I'm going to order one of those.
Yeah, it looks like $1,499 is what it will release at. And I read an article that's what the 7300 started out at and trickled its way down. So now we'll see. All right, boys, I'm in and out today, so I'll talk to you guys later. KG8, TFM.
Take it easy, Damien.
All right, I'm just pulling into my spot here, and I noticed I got to run inside, grab some keys, and move some vehicles around. I swear to God, people don't think. I guess they just get used to it, realize that people are pretty myopic and they don't think what they're doing. But I got to tend to something and then get inside.
That is the modern day workforce in a nutshell. All right, yep, I'm running a little late today, so I will catch you maybe on my drive home at 8 p.m.
KJO.
you're catching me just as I'm getting into an account. Good morning, KCQ2.
I've been out here for like 40 minutes.
I was in the office trying to figure out what this job was involved on, you know. My coordinator said it was for a token. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, coming into Almont to head into Romeo, you know, to get a meeting with bosses five levels above me.
Sorry about that. I actually ran into one of my contacts. So, sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't know how well I'm hitting this machine. I've been all mine. I'm going to the Romeo machine.
You're in Romeo, or are you on your way to the office?
I'm in Almont, on the Romeo machine, but I'm headed to Romeo.
Yeah, I went through that way, coming up this way, and, Romeo's, in it okay. But if you're in Almont, you should be almost in line with it.
Yeah, I'm just getting to the south side of town here, but, yeah, we got our big wigs from, Europe are in town, and I wanted to go visit one of our suppliers, so we got the head of global body engineering and then the head of global all engineering. This guy's like two below the CEO of the company, so we got some top brass that we're hosting on here.
I'll have fun with that. I'll be back again. Continue.
Yeah, hopefully it's just
sit there and look pretty. Hey, my lord, oh, you were telling me about Romeo and the bigwigs coming in and from Europe. Yeah, you have to go to Romeo for that. I figured they go to the Pentastar.
Yeah, there's, I don't know, there's something, it's out of one of our suppliers. They're kind of doing a big dog and pony show for our execs to, I don't know, I guess, the one guy from France used to, work with the supplier over in Europe, so we wanted to visit him over here in America, and his boss is in town, so they're all doing the big dog and pony show out here, so we're just out here to support and have any, you know, be on their side of the table.
When the bigwigs come in, the higher ups with our company, they come to my office because we're the largest, and can accommodate with the whatever room that's in there, the conference room kind of thing. So, yeah, we're always picked up on that. And I'm not letting go in the office when he's in there.
Yeah, we usually try to avoid big bosses knowing your name, but yeah, my boss is, he went into, he's on vacation, he's heading back from India, so he went to visit his in-laws in India, so all those little peons are showing around the execs.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it two ways, though, you know, so your boss, you know, it's like stating the issue, doesn't want to see the big wig, so he puts it on you because you're the next highest up. But on the plus side, you're meeting the head honcho, and that develops a more professional relationship with that, you know, with he or she. So, you know, if, you know, they're it into a positive, I guess. The vice president of installation and service, I've known for years. I mean, he's like number four. He was number four on the food chain, you know, from the top. And he came from our office, and he used to be my general manager. And we had a pretty good relationship. We Facebook and everything. And when I used to mention his name, a couple people kind of shook in their boots.
Yep, I gotta find a parking spot here, so I will say 7:30 is
the immediate one. 7:30, enjoy your visitation with the brass, KGKJ, make a good impression.
Golf Hotel Zulu, Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha.
Alright, well, I'm going to get out too. I'll be back in a little bit. Just driving out at work here. Casey does it too.
Rotation, it'd get pretty good. every so often it gets a little sore, but, you know, that's to be expected with the type of injury I had.
You know, what caused that injury? Is it sports related?
I guess years of abuse. It, because I dislocated my shoulder way back when my son was in sixth grade, so that was like 2004 or something like that. And, you know, it got dislocated by one of those party tents. The Indian popped it out, popped it back in, they didn't see any injuries to it. And eventually it healed on its own, and then just the type of work I do. I was full starting, a couple days before I was up to rewiring cables in the ceiling, you know, above my head. And then went home and I was full starting a leaf blower. And then finally just did it in.
Wow. Yeah, you never know what causes it, but yeah. Well, of course mine is surgery related, but it's gotta get through it. And hopefully, it seems like it's take forever, but before you know it you forget what the problem was to begin with. Remember I had a bone spur under my Achilles tendon in my foot, and they had to actually detach the Achilles tendon, get in there, grind, get the bone down, reattach it, and they said you had to do physical therapy for that. And then they said there'll be a time when you'll all of a sudden realize, hey, I don't even notice anything, and you won't even realize when that happened. So that's what I'm waiting for on this. Because every day I'm still feeling it. And I'm hoping someday I look back and say, wow, I haven't noticed here and felt any pain for weeks. Just realized it. Can't wait for that day.
Yeah, that's the kicker, is when I injured my shoulder, I had double trouble. You know, I had the shearing pain going down my arm. But I was losing feeling in my index finger and my thumb and my right hand. And went to the ortho. He said, it's odd. He says, you're showing symptoms of a rotator cuff injury, but you're also showing symptoms of something in your neck. So probably let's get your shoulder done. So I did, and after checkups and physical therapy, I told him that I was still having problems with my finger and my thumb. And he goes, well, it's fresh, and it's going to take about a year to heal. So I waited a year and then went back and said, I'm still having issues. I did nerve tests and stuff. Is it not that? And sent me to a spinal surgeon and went through all the testing on that. Found out, yeah, I was, two discs in my neck were completely gone, and it was just bone on bone. And it was like you pinching the nerve root from bone spurs.
Does not sound pleasant. Oh, well. Ooh, state police got somebody. Going a bit too fast. I'm 75 here. I don't know. It seems like, I don't know how fast you got to be going now to get a ticket. And it seems like everybody's going about 80, 85.
Well, considering that it's 70 miles an hour on 75 north, and I'm locked in at 76, and they leave you alone. I got people passing me. But on 69, you can do 75, just under 85, and they'll leave you alone. Unless it's, inclement weather, then, they'll tank you. But if they're zipping by at 80 miles an hour, there's no reason for that in the 70-mile-an-hour zone.
Yeah, I drive about 75, just... 77 on the expressway, and people are just constantly passing me, and I don't know, it's crazy. People, traffic laws have become an option lately. Red lights, just a suggestion.
go nowhere. I like the ones that I'm traveling in the middle lane, and then somebody on the left side says, oh, that's my exit, and they cut right in front of me and go off on the ramp. That bugs the beans out of me.
Oh, yeah. No planning ahead, or they just figure they need to run over you. I don't know, but at almost every intersection these days, I see at least one person blowing the red almost every time. You know, so where it used to be rare, it's very common.
Yeah, and then you got them riding up right up on your side, and you need to move over a lane, but they're like, no, you can't get in front of me. It's like, really? You know, so you got to slow down and go behind them or whatever else. Like, everybody thinks they all own the road, and nobody's allowed to get in front of them, only behind them. You know, that drives me batty, too.
Well, my attitude on that is, you know, if somebody puts on their turn signal and waits for me to let them in, I'm all for that, you know. But if they just kind of force their way in where there's, like, hardly any room, I object to that strongly. And so I will, sometimes I will not yield to that. But like I said, put your turn signal on, you ask permission, I'm more than happy to leave, give you the room.
100%. You know, I try seeing, you know, somebody's trying to get in and people won't let them in and keep asking them, so I'll slow down and flash them and then let them get in, you know. They gotta get somewhere too, but you don't argue with a, you know, 80,000-pound vehicle.
Yeah, and I love these people who, like, you know, cut, like, past the truck and immediately cut into their lane. You know, they just don't understand what's behind them, you know. Or they cut in, you know, traffic's going and stopping, they'll cut in and hit the brakes, you know, and you wonder why these trucks are in, people. So, but that being said, there's a lot of trucks that are going way too fast also. They've got these huge loads, and they're going, you know, it's supposed to go in 65 on the freeways, and they're going 75, 80.
To Flint there. Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, some of them go too fast, some of them go too slow, some of them don't even know how to drive it. You know, you swear that they get their license from a bubblegum machine.
Well, you've heard the latest thing you're talking about on the news, that some states, especially California, are giving these undocumented illegal aliens CDL licenses. Well, that's really redundant. CDL. And they can't even read English, so they don't even know what the signs say, and they're causing huge problems. You know, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that, 100%. You know, you're supposed to be going through a trucking school. You're supposed to go through certifications for a CDL. I mean, geez, if I knew that, I'll go out to California just to get a CDLA, just so I could drive a semi. I didn't need to take the course. I got the certification, you know, I got the license or whatever. I mean, I have a chauffeur's, and I had to go through testing on that.
Yeah, but I don't know how they can even get through that, but that's California for you. So, they over-regulate on lots of silly things, and they under-regulate on some real important stuff. So, I don't know. Don't know what the answer is for that. But, well, they say, my wife was watching a report the other day that's saying, like, you know, the goal is to have autonomous trucks driving on their own highways between major cities, you know, so that the driverless vehicles just say, you know, almost like I think we got something like that. It's called a train. But they just go between hubs, and then there'd be drivers, you know, doing, taking it the last mile, as they say. I would be surprised to see that. It'd be interesting.
Oh, yeah, they're out there. You know, motorized vehicle, I'm needed. No way to control it on the road. You know, that's just a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, if they had their own lanes, their own highway, basically, that was, you know, controls in the pavement, they wouldn't even need to be able to see. It would all be just, they'd all be talking to each other, they'd know where each other and where each vehicle is, they'd be following basically a track or the pavement. They could run 24 hours a day, no need for sleep. I mean, just for carrying stuff between major hubs. I think it's a great idea. Get them off the main, get them off the regular freeways, get them on their own.
That I can 100% support. Yeah, their own lane. Blocked off, you know, because they're not going to pass anybody. It's blocked off where regular vehicles can't get into it. You know, yeah, that'd be a neat idea.
Okay, you're getting a little spotty. I don't know if you're running out of string there, but or where you're at, but. All right, and I'm just about where I'm going, so catch you there, Tom, and drive safely. This is KAPR. Enjoy the rest of the day.
I'm going to enjoy physical therapy. I just switched over towers. I got some up here in Flint, so. All right, enjoy the day. Drive safe. Stay away from the crazies. KKKJO.
Pretty thin on some things.
No, we got imitation cards that go out to all the new hams, you know, if they want to join ARPS and everything else like that. When we first started out, we had like maybe 14 or 15, now we're up to 30. Hoping to make it up to 40 next year.
Yeah, unfortunately, we could have more, but there's a political issue that people don't, not real responsive.
Yeah, we got a good group of people that we're all heavily involved in one way or another.
Yeah, it's funny as you guys started skyrocketing when we dropped off the cliff. So, when I first started helping, we were doing pretty good. But, yeah. It is what it is.
It ebbs and flows.
I'll be back in case you don't just get a phone call.
You ebbing and flowing?
Yeah, I'm working on it. Working on flowing in the traffic here. See if I can get over and get onto the freeway. And it looks like I did. Yay!
Yeah, I'm just leaving Romeo now, headed back home.
Why were you in Romeo?
At a big dog and pony show, one of our suppliers. And, basically, five levels of rock above me at the meeting, so here's our global director of all of vehicle engineering, so anyway, we had the guy that was in charge of just body for the global, and anyway, it was like, we need two more people and we'd have the full food chain in the one room.
Try to think who's up there that's that big. I'm guessing this is a tier one supplier of something, or I don't know, but can't think of who's up there.
Well, who we're at was Ellen Products. They make a bunch of injection molded stuff, and they've got all sorts of kind of interesting new technologies, but you know, I used to deal with them a lot when I was doing sealing. They make a little cavity baffle that, like nylon, that they shoot an expandable plastic on. So when you put them on in body shop and they go in the paint oven and it blows up like a cake and sticks to the outside and seals off the cavity, and so you don't get the road noise and water and all sorts of stuff. So now they got them where they put them in there and put glass filled nylon in there and bond it to the metal, and it helps support the metal, keep the metal doing where it's needed to do its job. So, yeah, they started out in Romeo, and now they're all over the world. And, I think they said 30 countries, making parts for all sorts of manufacturers.
There you go. I should get you to help me figure out how to quiet down my escape. I know what I gotta do, really, but that's the only complaint I have. It's a great little car, but just has a little rattly. Has a little bit of what the hell is going on here? But the big roundabout at 18 and a half, the famous Van Dyke 18 and a half roundabout, and they got it all jacked up. They got cones all over the damn thing. It's like they got all but the outer lane of it roped off. Good grief. I can't see past any of these cars. They got trucks here, too.
All we gotta do is not buy a Ford. That's the first step. It's all different MVH treatments. You go from a Grand Cherokee to an Econo SUV. You don't get all the fancy MVH treatments and paddings and all that other jazz.
Yeah, well, there was literally nothing available when I bought. It was slim pickings. And this vehicle works good for other reasons that were important. Nah, I just got to get some Dynamat. The only real complaint I have is that, oh, thanks, a-hole. Just pulled out in front of me. But, I just got to get some Dynamat and get it inside the door skins and get that crap all up inside the door frames. That'll solve 90% of my problems.
Yeah, there's probably already something in there, but kind of like that. You'd be surprised how much you actually need in order to quiet things down. It's like, you know, the Dynamat, they want you to cover the whole thing, but just put the little patches in key spots, and it'll do quite a job.
Yeah, and I gotta admit, it's not really the incoming noise that I'm worried about. It's I've got a pretty decent aftermarket stereo amplification subwoofer, everything in the car, and it just rattles awful. So that's what I'm trying to get rid of. I'm trying to get rid of them. It rattles. They're mostly in the doors. The doors don't have a lot of matting. So I could probably get in there with some Dynamat, paint that right down. Anywho, other than that, I gotta get home and change and get in my car. Speaking of my car, and I think do some shopping. When is this nice weather supposed to come? Aren't we supposed to have some 50s?
Yeah, I think this weekend. I gotta get home and probably about a half hour to an hour, and I'm going to head down to have a birthday dinner with my daughter, and then unfortunately, she's got a performance at her school this today that she's got a thing in, so unfortunate time in there, but that's what it is. So we got to hurry up and do birthday dinner, and then head out to the school and watch her sing.
I think you said it's about a half an hour from your place to school?
Yeah, about. Everything's about a half hour.
Yeah, it's not horrible. What, grade or what, you know, how old are they now? Good grief, it's been a few years. You're going to probably shock me when you tell me.
Well, the youngest turned 11 today, and the oldest is 12 as of last month, so they're back to being one digit apart. Yeah, they're fifth and sixth grade.
Okay, I would have, that didn't shock me. Sometimes y'all ask somebody, yeah, how old are the kids now? And they'll say, so-and-so just started driving, or... And I just finished med school. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it seems like that'll be right on the corner. It's been time to fly. A couple more years, they'll be in high school.
Yep, same age as Max, your oldest. Same age as Megan's boy. Their daughter is... as many as 4 years apart, depending on when in the year. But so she's a little younger, but Max is right there. So enjoying big man junior high school now.
Yeah, I lowered that age, I guess. I don't know. It seems like it was 7th grade for me. Because I was in private school. Yep, their oldest is enjoying being at the school by herself without her sister around. Youngest is kind of, it doesn't matter. They've been covering Almont to Mayville.
Who doing what to Mayville?
we have a UHF covering from Alma to Mayville. Romeo gets scratchy in Alma.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know of anything. Dakota could probably answer that, but I don't think there's anything. It's kind of a dead area. I think if Lapeer had something in the system, that might be a real good bridge, but I don't think they do. They've got something on the VHF side of the house, but nothing on the UHF side.
And Lapeer's tower took a bow this summer, so it doesn't really help. And there's a burn site on the VHF side, but yeah, I don't think there's anything in the middle for UHF.
I believe you are correct. Yeah. Ah, well. Can't have everything covered, although we can try.
Just need more trees and, you know, more networks. All that jazz.
Network them all. Let God sort it out.
Yeah, I think you're getting the end of the leash on this one. Getting pretty static at all. I'm coming through. You need to be alive.
You're getting in just fine.
Yeah, you got a bit of a bunny rabbit in Romeo.
It's an XBR. I may be pulling that one out of there, putting something else in there, get a little bit more snot out of it. I don't know what. I got to figure out what I got. I might have an MTR I can do up and throw in there. Get that DMR repeater out of there and put it to use in the DMR world. Did not perform as well as I expected it to, but anyhow. You're getting a little popcorny now, so you're still in there, but starting to notice.
I think you went over the cliff and I'm not getting it in. Let's say cemetery is me.
All right. Talk to you later. WAFQ. Ugh.
K-E-8-R-U-H.
WDAKLL. WDAKLL. How you doing, Jack?
Very good. How about you?
Oh, I've been playing radio today. I probably got about 30 or so entries. Not so much DX, mostly POTA, but having fun.
Good. I got about 7 from a different country. The first one really it was Australia. That far, man, I don't know how that guy was. He was coming 5x9, and I'm sure he was pushing some light out there.
Yep, for sure. Yeah, I got my amplifier fired up today, finally, was using it. Yep, it was definitely pushing through some pile-ups.
Yeah, that's one thing that's good about that, pushing through that pile-up. I like that.
Yeah, I just, I got Barbados here on POTA. The guy was out doing POTA. I just got him on 20 meters.
That's not bad at all. But you know why we're getting all these different countries? Because the weather there is about 80, 85 degrees weather. So it's warm down there and it's cold down here. And that's what's happening. The wave is coming in through here, from there to here.
Yeah, that's what I was reading. There was a bunch of geomagnetic storms and stuff recently and really screwed up the HF for almost a week, but seems like we're coming out of it now. So, yeah, it's been fun.
It's a lot of fun up there. The guy said, why don't you come here to Australia? Go all the way there. It takes 2 days to get over there by the plane. That's why I told him. He said, no, just take a bike.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those guys in Australia. I've actually spoke to them a couple of times, you know, down unders.
Yeah, he said that weather is so warm there, it's unbelievable. I said, you know what, I might be thinking moving out of here to Australia, but I don't want to take a 2 days ride by the plane. I'll be dead by then.
Yeah, I don't know, Jack. I think you would make it, no problem. You guys drove all the way over there. You told me that story in the car, so I think you could make it.
Yeah, we did. Took us 1 week. All the way from here to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam all the way down to Turkey. It took us 1 week. 1 week exactly, 7 days. We were tired by the time we get there.
Yeah, it's a great story. All right, Jack, I'm going to cut you loose here. We're getting ready for dinner and hopefully get a walk in here. So got to get up and get moving. So we'll talk to you later there, Jack. We'll catch you later. WD8KLL, be clear after yours.
Hey, Greg, good talking to you. Yeah, I got to get moving too. I just was outside raking the leaves. The guy next door, he's got about 10 trees, and he doesn't give a care about nobody. He just let the leaves fly away. So I got to go out there because the problem is because I'm on that corner house. That's why. One side is no leaves, but the other side is full of leaves. So I went out there and cleaned them all up, and I just came inside. Now I got to get something to eat. We'll talk later. KFA-DRC.
KFA-DRC, KFA-AYL.
KFA-AYL, go ahead. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad, Jack. How have you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, where have you been, Jeff? You finished that shed yet?
My 40 by 80 shed with a 10-foot lean-to on the 80 wall, yeah. I do. I have the shell is up, so it's not done by any means, but the shell is up, the steel's on, roof's on, so we're all protected. We're good. I'm happy. But, yeah, I just got back today.
That's good. You got back today. Anyhow, weather is not bad there yet. I know that because It has not been snowing up there yet. Anyhow, so how you doing? Anyhow, I haven't heard you really in a long time.
Yeah, I've pretty much spent the whole fall in the UP there, so. It's been a whirlwind trying to get that building up, especially working by myself, so that's pretty much all I've been doing is that. I come home a few times just to do a few things and had some things to take care of, but I go right back up after a couple of days and get back to it in my spare time, you know, in between my full-time work on top of it. Darn job. Job's getting in the way. It'd be done if I didn't have a job.
You're right about that. I think you think it's cigar smoke. Roger?
Oh, yeah. Many cigars. Many cigars, my friend.
Okay, good to hear you out there, really. I don't know what the heck is this guy, he's over there, and he probably don't have the top of that shed yet.
Oh, I just finished the roof a couple, like, 3 weeks ago. I just finished that roof, so I was pushing it, because, like, 2 days after I finished the roof, we got freezing rain, and a couple days later, we got a few inches of snow, which has since melted, but... Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. What's new and exciting down here?
Well, not much. The GLRS is not connected anymore. That's all I know. And really, there's not much to go on them at all. I don't go on them a lot anymore because, you know what? I'm on this side of the world. That's why.
Yeah, I deduced the unlinking the last time I came down there. Like, it seems awful quiet here, and then I was up in Sheboygan, and it's still there, but I got Bob. Bob's like, yeah, they're not there anymore, so. But whatever. Yeah, we got this side, right?
We do have this one. That's fair enough. I heard Bob was down, and it takes a lot of work to get Bob up and running, so I don't know. I heard about a week ago.
Yeah, I think this was maybe 3 weeks ago when I came down for a few days for my niece's confirmation. I got him then, so he's saying he's not doing well or something?
Oh, I don't know about that. I really don't know about that. But I texted him 3 days ago about a couple of radios that were on sale, and that was it. He answered back, okay, thank you, and that's about it. I never heard anything from him anymore.
Ah, well, I talked to him like a... Three, 4 weeks ago, he seemed fine. No problems.
So how long are you going to be here for? A couple of days? We can talk to you or no?
Oh, no, I'm here till January or February or so, at least. I might have to go to my customer in Ohio, but that'll just be a few days. No, I'm home here for a while. Home for the holidays, I guess, right?
Are you 100% right? Home for the holidays, you're right. Do you get a deer yet up there?
I did not. I passed on a couple of spikes. My brother got a really nice wide and tall 6-point, and my uncle also got a 6-point, so... That's pretty good for our camp. We're four guys, so 2 out of 4. That and 50%, we're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's good anyhow. All right, Ken, good talking to you. I gotta go get something to eat. So, We'll talk later. Anytime. I'll be on here anyhow. KFADIC.
All right, Jack. Have a good rest of your evening. KFADYL.
KFADYL, KBAWTA.
KBAWTA, go ahead. This is KFADYL.
I want to put your call with a lot of parking scan accounts there, but anyway, out of curiosity, you own a building?
Your signal's breaking up pretty good, but I think you asked if I owned a building trade or something. I do not. No, I'm an IT guy, just building my own barn, because the builders wanted to build what I wanted to build, so I built my own.
Yeah, I had the volume down, and what piqued my interest was the business, and when you guys mentioned cigars, and boy, oh boy, that woke me up.
Yeah, I like my cigars. Every time I usually chat on the radio, I'm usually got a cigar. I don't this time, but usually I do. So usually I go out in the barn and have a cigar and a cocktail and chat on the radio or whatever. But I just got back. I heard Jack on, so I thought I'd say hi. But no cigar this evening, but many to come, I'm sure.
Well, my coach is 513-385, 485, doesn't matter, Nicaraguan.
Yeah, those are nice. Had those. Yeah, my go-to is Oliva V, the plain one, not the Milano, not the expensive Milano. I don't even like those Milanos, but I just like the plain Oliva V. Those are my favorites, but I like a variety. Your signal's breaking up again pretty bad. I think you asked if there was hams on the west end of the UP where I'm at. I'm guessing that's what you're asking, but there's some, yeah. There's groups up there, and especially on the other side of the Lake Superior in Grand Marais, Minnesota, there's a bunch over there, too, that can be reached pretty easily. Well, now the signal's barely even coming in. I just got a few chirps and not able to make anything out. But if you get back in the range, try me again. KFADYL.
W8FU. What's for dinner?
I don't know. I'm thinking about just, I'm kind of thinking about just doing up a big thing of mixed vegetables with some butter, salt. Kind of feeling like that's it. Just not really that hungry. But, I don't know. Need a little protein in there with my veggies.
Are we talking steamed or baked?
I like them steamed veggies, but baked straight too. So, I don't know though. We'll see. I'm going over to Randazzo's. I got to pick up some. I'm trying to be good, and this is all part of my, you know, it was like we were talking the other day, part of my low carb, get on the bandwagon. Oh, look at this. They closed the road on me. Let me get the hell over. There we go. Anyhow, oh, crap. This does not go through. Sunny beaches.
Well, at least you're going to a place that there's plenty of good food to choose from that's not bad for you.
Yeah, let's see here. What can I do? What can I do here? Are they going to let me turn here? I'm not sure if I can turn onto... No, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know what's going on here. I'm on 13 Mile Road, old 13 Mile Road in Warren. They got it all ripped up, and I'm not sure if I can go through or not. Looks like maybe I can. Yeah, I think I can. Anyhow, yeah, I'm going to go over there because they have this black beans and rice my wife likes packages, and we're out. She made the last one the other day, so... I'm going to go stock up on a few, and it's the closest place to me where they got it. And then I'm going to get myself some carrots and look around to see what else they got that can fit that healthy me thing I'm trying to do.
I would like to go there and get a bunch of olives and whatever else they got in that vegetable stand.
Oh yeah, are you a you like blue cheese stuffed olives?
Feta, lupini, jalapenos, red peppers, you name it, I want it.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of those. I've been on a Bloody Mary kick lately. I don't need a lot in it, but give me some give me a good Bloody Mary mixer. You know, medium decent vodka and I don't need much else. Maybe a celery stick just to swizzle around. But you drop some blue cheese olives, you know, or feta stuffed olives in that thing, and I'm done. I'm fine.
You know, I love Bloody Marys, but my wife doesn't, and there's just, for me as a beer drinker, there's just too many ingredients to always have or go get or remember to have. But I'm with you. I like a good Bloody Mary. You know, give me some Tito's and a good mix. Celery stick to swirl, but you can throw the kitchen sink in. You can put a peppercini in there. You can put a pot of stuffed olives in there. You can put some salami in there. You can put a meat stick. I don't care. I'll eat it all.
I'd like to find a place that does a real good Bloody Mary around here. They got one that's okay. Right by my house. It's not bad. It's not great. Best one I've ever had was in New Orleans at the Mid-City Yacht Club. I was there because the Ohio State alumni meet there. So, I met up there with a crew to watch the game, and they had a hell of a Bloody Mary there. And I know there's plenty of places that have them, and this Vivio is right by my house. They're not bad, but I'm still searching for something quite like that. They had just enough stuff. It was, you know, it was just enough interest, you know, interesting stuff going on with it without being ridiculous. You ever see the pictures of some of these really ridiculous ones online? And we got a hamburger sticking out of the thing.
Some restaurants have Bloody Mary make-your-own bars set up. I know Gilbert's in St. Clair Shores has a Bloody Mary bar that you can just create your own kind of a thing and they'll put it together for you. Good evening, W8RCY.
Good evening, Donald. I was just going to say, there's, if you want to talk about ridiculous, Art and Jake's, I think there's one kind of down by you, Sean. Closest one might be the Mound one, though. They have one. That's the last one I had, actually, and it was like breakfast. Like, that's all I had was a Bloody Mary.
Yep, yeah, some of them are just absolutely crazy. You know, the problem with any of these places that let you make your own, hello, Donald, let you make your own stuff, is I like for them to give it to me. You know, you do your art, let the artiste, you know, deliver his masterpiece for me to enjoy. If I had to build it, I don't know nothing about it. You know, I'll say, oh, yeah, stick in that. I like that. Stick that in there. I like that. Stick that in there. But the two things don't mix, you know, or they don't go well together. They don't pair well. I'm not good at figuring that out. So I like somebody else to kind of figure the whole thing out and say, you know, may I present to you? So, no, are they closed? If they're closed, son of a, how could they? No, okay, they're not. Thank goodness.
Honestly, I don't think I need carry out of this. I kind of want to try to find a Bloody Mary now.
Maybe when we get together and do our breakfast, maybe we'll find a place that does bloodies. We'll do the Northwest Breakfast and Bloody Mary Club.
I can get behind that.
Hey, Donald, yeah, I'll have to check that out when I'm down there, see if they maybe have one that they probably have ones that they have all done as well. But let me jump in here. I'm at Randazzo's. I got to run inside and get my stuff. I'll be back here in a little bit. W8FU.
N8BDF.
W8RCY.
Carrots.
What'd you land on?
Had to get a little food that food eats.
You weren't in there very long. You were on a mission.
Yeah, I already did my grocery shopping trip earlier. This one was just to get the black beans, the Vigos, black beans and rice, which we love. Can't get it everywhere, but you can get it here at Randazzo's. So the trip was to get that. And then I forgot my carrots, which is good because I got much better carrots from Randazzo's than I would have got from Meyer's. And then, of course, while I was in there, I said, oh, I should probably get a little bit of that, a little bit of this. So, matter of fact, I got the whole thing of blue cheese stuffed olives.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Yeah, when I'm trying to get my blood sugar down and cut the carbs and all that stuff, I try to keep, you know, things around that I can munch on. You know, there's busy food, like, you know, the little baby carrots. That's busy food, you know. I'm grazing, you know, I go into the fridge and open up the crisper and I can grab a handful of those and satisfies that grazing need. And then as far as satisfying hunger, I keep, I like cheese. I like to keep a lot of cheese in the fridge because I do love cheese. And that's where the olives come in handy. The olives with the blue cheese. Or just regular cheese. You know, and I'll do a little bit of that. And that tends to stave off any pangs or anything like that between meals. But that's the toughest thing, man, is finding the right amount to eat and then cutting out. You know, for me, I got to cut out carbs. You know, most people, if it's just for weight, you know, it's strictly a caloric thing. You know, you got to be running at a caloric deficit. But for me, it's a diabetes thing. So, you know, not only do I have the desire to lose some weight, but really it's about getting my blood sugar under control. So carbs are out, man. Can't have carbs, period. End of story.
Well, like you said, if you're having good snacks like that, it shouldn't be too bad. It should be manageable. Those olives are, in my opinion, those are the perfect snack.
But a meal's a good hunk of meat. So really, carrots are food that our food eats.
That's kind of my philosophy with all vegetables.
Kind of wake-up call, though. Somebody in my daily sphere of influence and had to go under the knife yesterday, and they lost all five of their toes on one foot. You know, it's due to diabetes. I'm like, and 20 years younger than me, so consider myself very lucky. I haven't been dealing with that level of diabetes from that age, but it is a wake-up call. That stuff will mess you up fast.
Oof, I cannot even fathom having to do that.
It was weird because he was out for quite a while, and, you know, with this thing, this foot thing, they call it Charcot foot or something like that. And he said, all better, man, all back to normal. And almost a day after, back, quote-unquote, back to normal, right back out, and within a couple of days, scheduled for this surgery to remove, you know, remove all the toes. Like, holy cow. Now, you can, you know, the biggest thing they find with that, when they take them, then they get in there and they find out there's, you know, they got to go further and further and further. People have lost, you know, portions of feet, whole feet, legs, and luckily, you know, his was, that was it. So, you can, you know, you can adjust to that fairly well. But, yeah, kind of a shocker, really.
Yeah, if that doesn't make you want to eat a salad, I really don't know what will.
Got my mom. She left us at 62 years old, so I've outlived her by a year or two. And 62, it was all diabetes. You know, first it took her. Well, I don't know what went first. It just seemed like she was fine, and then all of a sudden she wasn't. And then there was a number of years where she wasn't, and then it took her life. Her heart finally gave out, but took her kidneys, took her eyesight. What else? And it was her heart that finally gave out. And it was all from the diabetes, just, you know, in what seemed like to me a shorter, although I don't know for sure how long she was ignoring it or, you know, was it longer than you would expect, but that too should be a wake-up call for me. And it has, you know. The problem is I've woke up a few times in the last 10, 15 years, and I'm all woke up. I got the message, and get all right and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, circumstances, and next thing you know, I'm right back to a disgusting fat body with, you know, my sugar's a little bit out of control. So, what the hell, you know? So, anywho, let's see how the Sheets is doing here. They're putting a sheet about 2 miles from my house, and, oh, holy cow. Man, they are blasting on this place. They don't mess around.
Well, stick with it, man. Eat the veggies. I gotta do the same thing. I eat like crap. This week, right? Not being in the office, me realize like, wow, I only eat like crap when I'm in the office. So I think I gotta jump back on Factor and just start bringing lunch every day. Cause first day back, Detroit Wing Company. As in the last 3 days, it's been like one meal a day, venison stew, pasta, like good meals rather than the garbage we DoorDash. And yeah, they pump those things out, man. That Chick-fil-A next to my office went up in like, I swear to God, it felt like 4 weeks.
Who is the breaker?
Is that all right?
The floor is yours.
Hey, thanks, son. Hey, I went on the Jardiance, and they took me off the insulin.
Yeah, I'm on a version of that. I'm on Ozempic. You know, there's several of them. I think they're all pretty much the same thing. You know, my problem is it works. It does curb my appetite, but I don't, you know, but I don't listen to it, and I push through it. It's like, you know, the Ozempic's telling me I've had enough, and it's like I can push through this. So, I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know, I gotta let the Ozempic, I gotta listen to what it's telling me. Anyhow, yeah, you gotta be in the right frame of mind. You know, that's more than anything. There's no one thing. I look back on when I had my most success, and it wasn't all that long ago, just a few years back. I was down to my best weight, hell, since high school. I was running and biking and doing all this stuff, and I had my weight really down good. And it was just a frame of mind, and there was no one particular thing. You know, there was running, you know, there was eating the right stuff, not eating the wrong stuff, eating till I was content, not eating more than I needed to. Exercising, you know, there's no one answer, but, you know, so I just gotta, you know, I'm starting now with, eating better and less, because really it's the, sugar, you know, more than anything I want to get under control. If I lose weight, great, because I really care less, you know, so I'm fat, so what? What do I care? But, you know, except for health-wise, I do care. But, yeah, it's, I'm on the Ozempic, and, it is working. I'm not listening to it. And Dakota, I was talking about that with the gal at my office. She was on that factor and said it really worked good for her. And I've been thinking about that, you know, because let them figure it all out. Let them figure out size, quantity. I'll certainly, you know, you look at it, you go, oh, my God, spend this much money. But it's got to spend more than that now, you know, going to, you know, ridiculous stuff. It's not good for me.
I was on it for a couple months, and it was like, it was just thoughtless. Like, you just showed up, and you took it, and you ate it, and that was the end of it. And, you know, you didn't have choices to do something stupid. And the nice thing about it was like you said, it was all proportioned and done. You put it in the microwave for 2 minutes, and you ate it. And I swear to God, I lost 25 pounds in, like, 6 weeks. So I needed to do that. And it was only $100 a month, and that was 8 meals a week. Or $100 a week, but that was 8 meals a week. And it's really not that bad when I'm spending $20 to $30 a day on lunch.
Well, let me make sure I got it. Well, I've eaten about a meal's worth of carrots, munching on them on my way home here. But I'm in my final approach. I'm going to back in the driveway, get inside, and possibly hop back out here in a bit. You got, you cooking on HF, Dakota? You got anything up and ready to go there?
Yeah, I need to break out the 857 for 100 watts, and I got that Chameleon Hemcom V2 out there. It's a 60-foot wire on a 5-to-1, and then I got my 705 on the desk. So if you want to mess around on that, give it a shot, let me know.
All right, how low can you go in the band phone?
Pretty sure that center will do 160. That antenna will do 6 to 160.
Oh, I mean on 80 in particular at 75, where's your cutoff? Are you extra?
Oh, I don't know. Hold on, look. 3/8 to 4 on 80.
I should be able to do that, no problem. My wire's cut for the bottom of the band, and I'm still really really good up around 37. I should be good at 38. I'll have to check, but that should be no problem. Well, we'd have to be up above that, right? So we'd have to be up about 38 something. So okay. Anyhow, I'll check it out when I get in, see what kind of, and I got a tuner, so I got, you know, it's no problem. I can sneak up there. I'll be back. WAFU.
Yeah, let me know. I was thinking about hooking this thing up to the HF wire today anyway, so shoot me a text or hit me out here. NADBF.
NADBF.
DF from W8RCY. Quick question.
I may have a quick answer. Go ahead, Alan.
I was on the phone with my sister. She was checking up on me. It's been a long week for me. And I heard in the background something about Factor meals. Did you say you tried those? And I was wondering if you did. How were they?
I ate those for 2 or 3 months, and I really liked them. They're for the money, they're good. The food was always good. The only reason I stopped doing it was I got sick of eating broccoli or green beans every meal, which is like the majority of what I was eating. Like in the meals I got, that was typically the side, and I was like, I can't eat any more green beans. But I'm gonna jump back on it because it's been a minute, and it's good food, and it's portioned correctly, so I'll get them again.
Okay, well, I appreciate input you have, because I've lost a ton of weight in almost the last 2 years since the start of 24. I lost about 8 inches out of my waist, and I've got pants that don't even fit me anymore. I have a pair of pants in the closet that I've kept for 100 years, and I'm just now getting back into them. Basically went from like a 47-inch waist down to a 38, and you know me with my DoorDash story. But I mean, even when I eat DoorDash, I try to eat as healthy as I can with salads and stuff with vegetables on it, like thin crust pizza, not regular pizza or thick pizzas or, you know, deep dish pizzas. I try to stay away from carbs as much as I can. But I looked at it once and I said, I don't know yet. And this was kind of new. And then I overheard the conversation you had because I was on the phone. I was just wondering what your thoughts on it were. And after the first of the year, I'll probably do less DoorDash because I am not going to give up Potbelly subs. But, all right, I appreciate your time on that. I hope I didn't take up too much time. Have a good evening, and now that I got my voice back, because 2 days ago I was sounding really rough. I don't think I'll ever get my karaoke voice back. So have a good evening. Thanks for your time. W8RCY.
All right, Donald. Yeah, I would recommend it. Give them a shot. It's pretty inexpensive to try, too, so keep that in mind. And, no, you're good. I'm just sitting here on the computer at my desk. And what time is it? A little bit of time before I got to put the kids down, but, yep, I'll be standing by. So I'm sure I'll talk to you in the morning. NADBN.
Copy in again. Thank you. Have a good night.
Still in here, Dakota.
NADBM.
It's the best way to send you a 10 meg file.
You should be able to have your email.
It's a video. I clipped it just to the pertinent part. And it, processing, and then it stops at 100% in progress, and it doesn't actually save.
Another option, if it's a Gmail, upload it to Google Drive and then share from a link.
Oh, no, I haven't even got that far. I can't get my camera here to produce the file. It's doing everything but producing the file.
Real link?
Yep.
I'm assuming we have the same app. Let me see. You're going into playback and then clipping it and trying to download it?
Yep. Hit the little scissors, and then I pick the start and stop. The download window pops up. It says, you know, NVR, blah, blah, blah. And then you know, you see it processing, and it says 100%, 12 meg. But it never completes. Just that window just sits there.
I do not know. I just did a test one. My wife just pulled in and got her motion in the driveway, and it downloaded and saved to my camera album. Do you have an app for your PC?
Yeah, that's actually what I'm on.
For giggles, try doing it from your phone, see if it works, because the app on the PC is a little wonky. Before this last update, it was eating, like, my last computer had 96 gigs of RAM, and it was eating, like, 30 gigs of RAM and, like, 30% of my processor because it was bugged. So, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about by its wonky.
Oh, my God. Apparently, I don't have your email in this thing, in this phone.
I'll text it to you.
Okay. What a pain in the rump.
Guys would sit outside in the freezing cold for hours to see something like that, and you got it in your backyard.
I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden I look up, I'm like, whoa!
That's not even an old deer either. That's the crazy thing. He's just good genes and big.
Yeah, I got Mom and she had three babies, and I've only seen two recently, and lately I've only seen one. She had two button bucks running around with her, and I've just seen her and the one last couple of days. Well, actually, I haven't seen her last day or so, but she, almost every night they're here. And tonight I kind of look up and I see that big boy, so he's on the prowl.
Yeah, he's looking. He's in rut. Damn, I can't do that in your backyard. That's hilarious. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play any HF tonight. I think I'm going to jump out here in a bit, but maybe tomorrow or this weekend if you're around.
Yeah, I got home and a whole bunch of stuff and just getting back on here now, but I got to check and see where my antenna works. Like I said, it's cut kind of low. I could afford to cut it a little bit more. I'm pretty flat down around 35 and 3.5. But so you know, I could afford to raise that up just a little bit. You know, get a 1.5 or less, and then get it flattening out a little bit higher, and maybe be able to push up there. I'll check it out. Like I said, I got a tuner too, so it's easier to tune a longer antenna down than to tune a shorter antenna up.
All right, well, yeah, let me know where you land in there when you start messing around with it, and we'll try to jump on. But I'm gonna jump out of here, and I'll catch you in the morning if you're saying you're heading in. I'll be clear if you are 10-8 DDF.
All right then. Yeah, I'll putz with it now and try to figure out where I'm good at. Later. W8FU.
Were you there too?
Yeah, I'm on my way home and my wife just called. I'll be back. Can you?
Oh, well, yeah, that's you.
WABPD Mobile.
Hey, Brian, I understand you were at the ARPSC meeting tonight.
Yes, sir. I was there. I won a door prize, too.
Oh, my God. They had door prizes? Man.
Just won, and I was the lucky guy.
Well, there you go. I heard it was a hell of a meeting. So I was going to go, and then I got home, and then I had to go to the grocery store, and then when I got back, I had to go back to a different store. Then I got home, and it was about 5 minutes to 7, and, you know, hell, by the time I got out there, it had been 7:30, and I was tired, and I needed to eat, so I didn't make it. I had every intention earlier in the day, and then it just went that hole in the handbasket. But from all accounts, it was the biggest meeting yet.
Hey, Steve, hey, Joe, come back. Didn't mean to step on somebody.
No, Tom, you're all right. I've got this feature on this radio. I got to wait for the repeater to unkey. I was crunching up some thumbs, so. Yeah, well, Wally was there, and a couple of guests, and a couple of new members, so, yeah, it was quite a crowd.
Oh, very good. I'm sorry I didn't make it. Tom?
It was nice to see them, to meet the man behind the curtain, WCAE.
Yeah, I heard Jeff made it. Very good. But I think it was the big topic of the day was, like, his thing, right?
Yeah, it was all after the initial information and everything like that. The second hour was all Sky Warren, and we went through a mock net. So we had a better understanding of what to do.
Very good. Yeah, Jeff's about one of the best... Skywarn ROs I've ever heard, but I'm biased.
Well, Paul did it for a while, too, didn't he? If I remember right, when I first started in Skywarn.
Maybe, but I never tuned in when he was doing it, so I have no frame of reference.
There is an RO for Washington County. I think his name was Mark, and he was really good, too. So when I was always over in Ann Arbor, I always heard him on the radio. Brian.
Well, I've only ever listened to one Skywarn net, and that was last summer towards the early part, spring. But I think that was the one that Dave did, where he was learning from Jeff.
Well, I think most of the guys that get those roles are probably pretty damn good at what they do. So, but there you have it. But cool deal. That's a good venue, too. That's a great venue to have a meeting like that, especially with that lobby with the coffee.
Hey, Joe. Oh, yeah. I need two cups of caffeine and my coffee. So I'm like, I need to pay attention. And I haven't had caffeinated coffee in quite a while. So, threw me off a little bit. A couple palpitations, let's just say.
Well, I usually don't drink coffee that late, but they kept me awake all day at work, and I didn't have a chance to take a nap before going. So, yeah, I needed the attention drug there, too. So, I had two cups. Now, hopefully I can get to sleep when I get home.
I don't know how Sean functions with a double or triple espresso that I've seen him drink. I don't know how you do it, Sean.
Well,
I were to say it doesn't have an effect on me, I'd be lying. You know, there comes a point, about 5 espresso shots, 5 or 6, somewhere right in there, where I can actually feel like my arms tingly a little bit, like the hair standing up on my arms. but it takes about 5 or 6 espresso shots, you know, all at once. And normally I drink 3 or 4, you know, only when I, like if I get a freebie, I'll have them loaded up and go 5 or 6. So seeing as it takes that much to even get a little rise out of me, you know, I could just take a cup of coffee. I can do that morning, noon, or night. In fact, you know, I'm looking at the time here. It's 10 o'clock. I may still have another cup before bed. I don't know. Depends. I'm drinking some unsweetened tea right now, so I may just do that. That's caffeinated as well, I think. Yeah, I think this has caffeine as well. Just doesn't affect me that way. I go sleep like a baby. I don't know if I drank, you know, 4 shots of espresso, I could put my head down and go to sleep, but a cup for sure, or even a couple of cups, just doesn't affect me. I don't
know. Well, back when I was really drinking the coffee, I'd hang out till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning drinking coffee at the restaurant, whether it was Red Apple or Denny's back in the day, and I'd go home, go to bed, no problem. But back after Red Apple burned down and I was working midnight and I stopped drinking so much coffee, I can have a cup and it'd be fine. If I have 2 or 3, then I might have a problem falling asleep.
Well, me too. I mean, I was like you guys. I would, you know, on the weekend when I had a regular coffee maker, I'd drink a pot, maybe 2 pots in a day. Going out to dinner, I had those decanters. My cup was always full. I drank so much coffee and so much caffeine. And then after my little stint in June, the doctor says, no more of that. You can have a cup here, a cup there, but no more. Even though it just showed on the TV, you know, on the news that caffeine and coffee would be good for people with AFib. I don't think so. I mean, I don't have AFib. I have ATAC, but still, your heart jump around all the time. And still, like, you know, play the Macarena if you're just trying to rest. That's a good indication to cut back on.
Well, you have other things going on there, so that's just like, you know, me going to, you know, with carbohydrates and stuff like that. You know, for most of y'all, you know, it's just empty calories, carbohydrates, and sugars. And, well, they're not necessarily empty. They do give you energy, but your bodies can process them. I can't. So it's a whole different thing for me. I imagine it's the same with you and caffeine, but, you know, but mine is carbs. And if I had to give one of them up, I'd give caffeine up. If I could have the carbs to my heart's content, I would give the caffeine up. But I can't, so I'm going to enjoy the caffeine.
Well, I think I have a little bit of a problem with both, but I don't overdo it with any of them anymore. So I guess I got it under control as best as I can, but there are times where I just crave something, and I got to get my mind off of it. The coffee, on the other hand, by the time I leave work, I can have 3-4 cups at work and not have a problem. And if I have 2 or 3 with dinner and it's a late dinner, then I might have a problem. So all the good stuff is bad for you. W8BPD.
P-A-K-J-O. Yeah, I have a problem with carbs too, Sean. One of my biggest downfalls is donuts, but not any donuts, specific ones. Punchies, I'll eat 3 in a city. Boston cream, custard filled with a chocolate top on it, or chili powdered donuts, or chili glazed donuts. They cause a lot of issues. Chuck
eating them, you know, but if you don't have the sugar, then, you know, the diabetes, then I guess it's not as big a deal. You know, you might put weight on or might not be good for you necessarily, but not quite the same. So, but I don't know, maybe you do. You don't strike me as one to have that going on, Tom. But I'll tell you, if you like those, oh, my God, I'm going to have to get you a Tringali's cream puff one of these days. Or Edisi, I think they call it. Oh.
Some of those Boston cream filled or especially Punchkins, they're just too sweet for me, and it's always been, and I don't have a problem with my sugar that I know of. But it's just always been just, it would almost make me sick. They were so sweet. And then again, I didn't eat a lot of cakes or cookies and that when I was growing up. But now I get my cravings. The store has too many aisles of cookies that I used to like.
Well, I'm not type 1. I'm actually type 2, and I was borderline. And you know, I've been on Metformin for quite some time, and now I have, you know, blood pressure meds that helps with that too. But the problem with my sugar is it would just peak, you know, up over 200, and then my body would just dump so much insulin into my system that it would bring it down so fast that I would crash. So I didn't know what it wanted to do. So that's basically why I'm on the Metformin, is to keep it running, you know, at a level pace. So far every morning I've been around 108, so I've been doing pretty good. Plus I lost 15 pounds, so I'm like 173, 174 compared to being up almost 200.
Yeah, you got to stay on top of that. But well, I'm starting. Hopefully keep my fingers crossed I can stay on the ball. I went out tonight and did some shopping to get the right stuff around me so that I don't have the wrong stuff, you know. You gotta satisfy the cravings, you know, so I made sure I put things in the fridge that can satisfy the cravings and things, and not get me in trouble, because in the past, you know, all the things that I would, you know, graze or pick were just bad for me. So that's the big help. But enough on all that. So anyhow, I'm going to jump out of here. I want to watch an episode of Ted Lasso before bed. I just started watching that series. I think I'm 7 episodes into 3 seasons worth of Ted Lasso. I like it so far. And I want to watch an episode here before the end of the evening for me, which is coming up pretty quick. But glad to hear you guys made it. I wish I would have went. But maybe next time. A lot of good things coming. I think it's only going to get better and better for at least for a while. So I will listen round. W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a good evening. I still got a couple miles before I head out to the west a little bit, so I'm a little better than halfway home.
Hey, Sean. Where am I at? I know I'm on Romeo Plank or something. I already passed 29. Where am I? Oh, I'm in 31. So I'm almost into Armada, and then from there, 15 minutes. And I lost 5 pounds of my beer here from calling the better half. She's like, I'm going to bed. See you later. Bye.
My better half, she and the girls, both of the girls, are at church until about 8 p.m. because they have catechism, religious formation tonight. That's kind of what frees me up to go to these meetings. And then she gets done. Gets home, she automatically puts on her comfy clothes, and if she even turns on the TV in the living room, it's a miracle. She usually just settles right down into bed. She's snoring by the time I get there.
Mine has been kind of in a mood. Ever since I got my All-Star note, I was trying to get that work, and earlier in the week I was over at Wally's and helped me get a program and show me what I was doing wrong and helped me understand what way it should have been. So he's a good tutor. And then last night, she made me go get this 18-pound turkey that she won in a lottery on Facebook. And then that was in Armada, and then I had to double back to this other location to get two full bags of venison product. And that's what she made tonight, with venison steaks. So when I chatted with her, she's like, well, I'm going to bed. This is ridiculous kind of thing. So, she kind of gets in a mood every so often about it. I just let it play out, and she's fine the next morning. KCKQ.
Yeah, well, thankfully mine doesn't get moody about it. She usually understands. I didn't want to bowl three times a week, but I'll bowl every other Saturday, every other Sunday, and they're on opposites, and then every Tuesday. But she's at work until 8 o'clock on Tuesday, and then I do this once a month on Thursday, so she doesn't get too upset. And then again, like I say, I have a 9-to-5 job type of thing. So I'm always around when she wants her peace and quiet. She tells me to go get lost once in a blue moon.
Now, unfortunately, she is a household engineer. Having, the stroke, 5 years ago, her way of thinking is a little bit different. She wants me around, and the past 2 weekends I've been under the weather. And you can hear my voice. I'm still trying to get rid of it, but it's just lingering. But with my immune system, that's par for the course. So she's like, you've been playing radio all week, and you've been with your radio friends, and you haven't spent time with me at all this week, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, if I didn't have to go get a turkey and venison, I would have been home sooner.
My escape is to go down the basement where my computers and my radios are. And she has her TV shows, and I'm just not into watching all that TV. So, yeah, but we get along, and that's the beauty of it. I try and pay her attention, and she tells me to get lost. I'm like, okay, WABD.
Well, mine's the opposite. Mine is pay attention to me, not to your other stuff. What are you doing? But she gets up at the fuck crack of dawn. She's up anywhere between 4 and 5. Don't know why, but that's just how her system works now. And then she's usually tired by like 9 o'clock. So when I do come home early on some of the days, I'll sit down, eat dinner, and we'll watch something. And then she's like, well, turn on a doc, which is really nice. You never see doc with Billy Ray Cyrus. It's really nice. It really is. It's a very pleasant show, very family-friendly, and very Christian-based, which is really nice to have a change of pace. But I'm like, are you sure at 8:30 you're going to be passed out the next half hour? She goes, yeah, okay, whatever. So we'll watch something else that interests her, and if she falls asleep, then I'll turn it off, and I'll turn on my paranormal shows or, something else that interests me. Like the Evan Fitzgerald or Mount St. Helens, or lately I've been getting into behind-the-scenes videos of people visiting North Korea, so whatever piques my interest at the moment is what I watch. KCKQ.
Well, I could sum it up in probably 4 or 5 words. She likes the home rental shows, lottery dream, whatever it is, where he finds these people that win the lottery houses. And she watches The Five, Gutfield, and then my oldest daughter and her will binge watch The Chosen, getting ready for the next season to come out. So they review them all. And that's my cue to leave usually. But every once in a while I'll sit down and she'll have her TV shows on and then she'll wake me up when she goes to bed.
Oh, she watches NCIS. She's already on the newest season. I'll watch that too every so often when I'm sitting at the kitchen table, you know, doing paperwork or whatever else. But the NCIS, the Law and Orders, or what's the other one, the SVU. So she watches all that. And some of them I get into, some of them I don't. I don't have any interest in it. That's about it. She doesn't like my paranormal shows, so she won't watch those anymore. She used to, but not anymore. But we, you know, what is that one? Reacher. We've seen all three seasons of that, waiting for season four, which will be in January. So we watch that. Some other, you know, and then we'll do a movie here and there. You know, sometimes old time shows. She's been into Columbo again, and Matt, and not that long, but, oh, I can't even think of it. The Corner Show, I can't think of his name.
We do, we have watched Reacher together. We're at the end of Reacher, waiting for season four as well. And if you haven't seen it yet, and you know somebody that has Amazon Prime, that new Playdate movie with Alan Richardson and Kevin, what's his face, I can't remember, the guy from King of Queens. That was cute. That was a pretty decent movie. That was the last thing we sat down and watched together end to end. But yeah, the oldest kid will do Law and Order, Criminal Minds, and NCIS. And I'll hang around for some of those, but not all of them.
I can handle the NCIS and the, like I said, the SVU and, you know, that one, whatever. I think it's like Law and Order. But, Criminal Minds, I was into it for a bit, but then it got really dark. And, it just triggers my mind. Because when I lived in LA, yes, I was involved with law enforcement, and I've seen my share of nastiness. So, you know, that gets a little bit, it just triggers something in my mind. I'm like, I can't handle this. You've got to shut it off. So, you know, I watch a little bit calmer shows, especially at night. I try to keep my paranormal shows to like an hour before I go to bed, because then my mind just works weird ways, and, you know, things I've seen, things I've experienced, kind of throws a kink into all of it.
Usually sometime after 9 p.m., somewhere between 9 and 10, she heads for bed, so she's ready for Gutfield at 10 o'clock. And I head downstairs, and I'll watch Vice Grip Garage, which is on a YouTube. Or I just won't turn it on. I'll do something on the computer and play with the radio. But I just, yeah, I don't watch a lot of stuff, especially later at night. It's kind of the way I've grown to be. Not that much interests me to where I'm knee-deep into it, but Reacher is one of them that I am into. So, you know, I'm just weird.
Well, there's one on Netflix, and it's called The Blacklist, and that's with James Spader, and that one's got some serious twists here and there. So, that one we got into it, I forgot where we ended up at. And then we just lost interest in it, but people say, oh, no, you got to keep watching it kind of thing, and it's just, it's different, you know what I say, but they're like, is this true, or, I mean, does he know, does she know, do they know, is this, you know, but it's, that one's pretty good once you get into it.
Well, I went through most of the cop shows, The Shield and that sort of stuff back in the day. My buddy got me into watching Dexter, so that played out. Oh, a couple of those other shows, but most of them were, after the seasons were done, I kind of binge-watched them. And I do that all from my computer, so, yeah. For me to turn on a TV means it's usually a hockey game or something of that nature. I'm not huge into football, but I'll turn it on, and I'm not into basketball or baseball much because, you know, they're just, to me, they're boring. But hockey, yeah, I like to watch hockey.
Oh, yeah, I'll turn on, you know, if the hockey game's on, I'll turn it on, I'll watch it for a bit. My daughter's been into the Lions, so, you know, I'll watch that. And whether they win or lose, I still, you know, I still like watching, and I'm really getting a little bit more into that. But hockey, I grew up around hockey. My dad played amateur hockey when I was a kid, and he was a big Red Wings fan and followed Wayne Gretzky's career for many years. And that's about it. On occasion, I'll hop into a golf game, and I'll watch golf. I don't know why. Bowling, you know, I like watching bowling.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy the bowling games, but, yeah, I don't surf the channels, and I don't go looking for them. Golf, I'll just go check, see who's doing what, and sometimes I'm there for an hour, sometimes I'm there for 15 minutes. But, yeah, my dad grew up watching Hockey Night in Canada when it finally hit the TV because he used to listen to it on the radio all the time. And he just enjoyed the game of hockey. He played some pickup hockey here and there when he was an adult. And then my brother was an organized, but I was always too small. And then I started in, when I got out of the Army, playing with the guys from work. We formed a team. We played up until I blew my knee out on my quad motorcycle up north. So, yeah, I enjoy a good hockey game. I don't care who's playing, but I am a Red Wings fan, and my wife is a diehard Lions fan. So that's usually on around the house.
Yeah, my wife has always been football for a long time. She actually has a team ball signed by the Detroit Lions when Bubba Smith played with them. She liked the Bears. She liked Dick Butkus, you know, the enforcer. And then if it's for me, you know, I watched hockey back when the Russian Five were there and follow that all through. And then my son's baseball. He's a big Tigers fan. And my daughter's a Lions fan. So we get a little bit of sports in us, but I'm more of a, I like watching the tech shows, you know, how things are made. Take things apart, put things back together the best way you can. If I do what I do, that's what you do what you do, kind of thing. So, and it all depends on what my mood of the night is.
Well, I've always been a tinkerer. Take things apart, put them back together type of thing. But, yeah, how's it made? That's one of the series that I used to like to watch, and then some of those other ones, but they're not on commercial TV anymore. I'll go look them up every once in a while. It was interesting when they were doing the one on how a coffin's made. Well, when they're stamping the parts to make the coffin, I'm like, that's what I do, but it's car parts. So, yeah, that sort of stuff's interesting. Anyways, Tom, been a pleasure chatting with you. I just backed into my driveway. My commute is over.
1:73 I'm already in the, where am I at here? Riley Center in Boardman, so I'm right on the west end of the city. It's like Richmond Township and Riley Township. So I'm about 5 minutes out myself. All right, I'll chat with you later. Have a great evening. It was a fun night. I enjoyed every minute of it. KZKGO.
All right, Tom. 73s, I had a great night too. Enjoyed it all. It was a surprise winning the door prize. W8BPD.
N8IAJ. Hangin'.